Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Thanks for joining me today for this program. I have a wonderful guest today who has stories of faith, how God got her through the impossible. Thanks for joining us. Annette Norkowski is my guest. Annette, welcome.
Thank you, Judy. It's an honor to be on your program.
Well, it's an honor to have you. You have not lived an ordinary life. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, I was born in the 1950 era. I was only 2 pounds at birth, so I had to be put in an incubator, and the oxygen damaged the retinas of my eyes. So at age 9, the retina in my right eye detached, and I also had a lot of scar tissue in the left eye. And they tried to do surgery, but it didn't help, and so I had to leave my neighborhood school where I had been reading large print and wore glasses, and I had to go to a special school to learn how to read Braille and how to type on a typewriter, even though I couldn't see what I was typing, but I had to learn the keys so that I could turn my homework in to the teachers, and I also learned some mobility with use of the long white cane.
You know, Annette's story is similar to mine. I was 3 pounds, 4 ounces as well. And they put me in an incubator, and I was born about the same time Annette was. The oxygen messed up my retinas, but I was completely blind after that two-week period or whatever while I was in the incubator. So we have similar stories growing up. So Annette, at 9 years old, you started losing your sight. How did that affect your family?
Well, they were, of course, very devastated. But they didn't give up. My mother had great faith. She was constantly praying. She prayed for a miracle. She prayed for my safety, my protection, my safety. But there was never an issue that I was just going to give up. It was always, you know, you're going to face this. It's a challenge, but you're going to face it. And so we persevered through all those changes, and getting my books, for one thing, was a struggle because there were agencies that would produce the books in Braille, but they couldn't keep up with me. So by the time I got the book or the volume, the class was already on to the next chapter or whatever. So my mother spent a lot of time reading to me. And my mother only had an eighth grade education, so she did the best she could to read to me. This was pretty much through grade school and high school. And then in the college years, I was able to start getting books on cassette tapes, and I would borrow those books, or an agency would read them, and then they'd send them to me, and I would use them for a semester and then send the tapes back. And that worked a little bit faster, but still I needed live readers at times who were volunteers.
And you know what? Annette studied to be a lawyer, and she got her Illinois bar in 1984 as an attorney. Annette, what prompted you to want to become an attorney?
Well, that is strange because none of my family, I wasn't taking after anybody or walking anybody's footsteps. My family, like I said, no one ever went to law school, let alone high school. So I don't know. I always felt I was good at analyzing things. I felt that I was a good writer, and I had gone to a career day at the Illinois Visually Handicapped Institute, and there was a blind attorney there, and he was talking about his job, and I just thought, well, I think I could do this, and I wanted to try it, and I told my parents, I just want to try it, you know, and they were so supportive of me to go. They said, if you want to try, go, you know, we'll support you any way we can. So law school was a struggle, too, because there's so much material you have to cover. And you only get one chance to show what you know, one exam at the end of the semester. So, and then passing the bar was another whole ordeal because I was used to bringing my typewriter into an exam and just typing out my answers. And when I went to study for the bar examiners had a set procedure, and it did not include bringing my typewriter. They said, we were going to give you what they called a scrivener, who was going to read the questions to me, and I was to dictate my answers to them, and they were going to write out the answers. So the Illinois Bar is a two-day affair. The first day is the essay part. There are like 16 essay questions, and the second day was multiple choice. So I found it was very hard to try to give my answer, have someone write it down. Then I ask, well, what did you write? Can you read it back to me? And though I was given extra time, I just ran out of time. And I know when I was done with that exam, I know I ran out of time. I know I failed it. And it was you know, heartbreaking, because I'm thinking all that studying I put in, law school plus the bar prep, and I just knew I didn't pass it.
You knew you had failed. You know what? I know about that, because I started to use my typewriter in second grade. I had to learn how to type, too, to turn in my work. And it's a challenge when you can't bring your tools with you. And I can imagine how you must have felt disheartened, thinking, I got to dictate, and it's slower to dictate than it is to sit there and type your answers out.
Right.
Wow.
You know, I went back and took it the second time, and really the Lord was with me, because I don't know how I passed it. I truly do not know how I passed it. So the Lord really answered my prayers, and I was so happy when my mother told me that I passed the test. So.
Wow, that's Jesus. So what happened then? How did you get your first job?
Well, I was always interested in working for the government, and I knew that the City of Chicago Law Department was hiring. And so I had my first interview, and it went pretty well. And then they said, well, we'll call you. And I'm, okay, fine. And I waited, and I'm not getting anywhere, and I keep calling back, well, did you make a decision? No, not yet. And then I just got a feeling that they were kind of ignoring me. And so I went to my alderman, who I didn't even know, you know, who he was, but I went to his office one day and I said, listen, can you help me? I'm an attorney. I just passed the bar. I want to work for the City of Chicago. And at that time, it was Mayor Washington who was mayor. And he said to me, okay, he said, I'm going to talk to the mayor, and within 2 weeks, you'll have a job. And sure enough, within 2 weeks, I had a job.
That is amazing. You had amazing tenacity to do that.
Right. It was Alderman Beavers. He's probably not around anymore, but he had faith in me. He had faith in me, too. So that's how I got it.
And then you worked for the City of Chicago. What did you do?
I defended the city. When someone sued the city, I defended the city. So a lot of my cases were involving, like, police protection or fire protection. Lots of times, let's say someone called the police and they didn't get there in time, and then they sued the city because somebody died or whatever. Well, the city has immunity for a lot of those things, so the city is not liable. And so most of the time I was on the winning side, which was good, and my practice was mostly motion practice. I'd have to go to court and argue these motions. I'd write the briefs, and I would argue the motions in court. I also had a reader, like a full-time reader, who helped me research the cases. I did my own word processing on the computer, though, with a speech device. And really, I think it all came down to preparation. I felt I was, like, the most prepared person. I had to be the most prepared person to win these cases. And I'd step up to the bench, and I'd give my side of the story, and then the opposing counsel would get over there, and he'd kind of stammer and stutter and look down at his notes, and, you know, the judges were getting frustrated, like, well, why can't you be as prepared as that?
You know, that is true. When we have a disability, we got to be ahead of the game, don't we?
We do, absolutely. That's the key to success, is preparation and persistence.
So how long did you work for the City of Chicago Law Department?
I was there about 7 years, and then there was a change in administration, and they did a lot of housekeeping, and they fired a lot of people, and for no good reason. It was just a change. It was just politics and a change of administration. So I found myself unemployed, and then I went to work for the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and that was kind of a temporary job, but it was getting me through, you know, keeping me working. And I worked in the Fair Housing Division, and that was a good thing in a way, because when I eventually then went to work for Social Security, the supervisor I had at HUD, again, was very interested in me and just took a liking to me and an interest in me. And when it came time to give a recommendation, I asked him if he would recommend me for the Social Security position, since they were both federal government. And he gave me a very good recommendation. I think that helped me get the job with Social Security eventually.
And that Social Security job was in St. Louis. And that's how I met my friend Annette.
Right.
So as you think about you going through those challenges in Chicago, what about the rest of your life? Did you have your own apartment? Did you live with your mom and dad?
I lived with mom and dad for a while, but once I was able to start earning a living and start saving some money, I decided to move out and get an apartment because my parents were getting elderly at that point, and I knew they wouldn't be around much, and I felt I needed to be independent and learn how to cook and clean and just be on my own because I wouldn't have anybody to help me. So I did move into my own apartment, had a studio apartment, and of course they came and visited me, but I was in the big city, you know, kind of like downtown Chicago, so I would take the buses to work or even sometimes walk to work because I was, it was about a mile walk, but I enjoyed walking, so I, you know, navigated the streets pretty well. So it was a challenge, too, working and living in the city, but did my own grocery shopping and all that as well.
So, Annette, how did you learn how to travel the places you needed to go, walk and take the metro? How did you learn that?
Well, there were times that I had mobility training at different times in my life. Let's say when I was starting college, I had someone come onto campus with me. And
a travel instructor that showed you how to use the white cane.
Right. And they'd orient me to the college campus or just various times. But I had already, I knew Chicago, I knew downtown because many times my mom would take me shopping. And we would walk the streets of Chicago from one end to the other. Our favorite thing at Christmas time was to visit every Santa Claus on State Street. So we walked from one end of State Street to the other.
You never knew how that was going to help you in the rest of your life in Chicago. Hey, I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. Annette Norkowski is my guest. And we're talking about the challenges, the faith stories in our lives, the challenges that she's faced, and how God's gotten her through. We'll be right back after this break. If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlick.com or email me at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. Annette Norkowski is a guest of mine today. We're talking about faith stories, how God provides. You know, Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory." It sounds like, Annette, that had happened to you all of your life.
Right. Well, also when I, just coming to St. Louis, when I became unemployed in Chicago and I decided that I needed to broaden my search because Chicago was saturated with attorneys. We have like 6 law schools in Chicago. So I started looking on USA Jobs and I found that Social Security was hiring in St. Louis. They were going to open a brand new office and I figured this was my chance because I'd be hiring a lot of attorneys. And so I applied and I got the job. Well, of course, I didn't know anybody in St. Louis. I didn't know anything about St. Louis. But I'm like, well, I need a job, so I'm going to go. And there's another point where God just intervened in my life and just helped me. Because trying to do a long-distance search for an apartment is hard when you've got to do it on the internet. And just the idea of moving, my cousin was able to take some things and drive me down here. But the rest of my things were going to have to come via a moving company, which would take 3 days to get to me. So just moving, packing, moving, learning a new location, learning a new job at the same time. All of it, again, I look back on it and think, how did I do it? Well, I didn't do it by myself. God was with me throughout the whole process.
You worked at Social Security Administration until you retired. How long was that?
I worked for Social Security about 12 years, and I just retired last year. It's going to be a year, October 31st.
And what was your job at Social Security Administration?
I worked in the disability section. So when someone filed a claim for disability, if they got denied, they had a right to go before an administrative law judge to have a hearing, to have the case reheard. And once the judge made a decision, then we as the attorneys wrote the decision for the judge. So my job involved a lot of looking at medical records. And again, I had a reader who read things to me. He helped get things into a format that I could read. So it was reviewing a lot of medical records, and I almost was like a doctor practically because you had to know all the medical terms. But it again was a lot of looking at documents and writing, and I mentioned earlier I like to write, so putting everything into a template. We did not have to put down the legal cases that was already filled in for us in the template, but we had to justify whatever the judge said. If the judge said, you know, this person is not really disabled, they could still work, then we had to find all of the evidence that showed that they really weren't as bad off as they claimed, and vice versa. So,
Annette, you've had so many places where you could have given up. When you lost your sight, when you went after your bar exam and failed the first time and had to go back again. Looking for jobs in Chicago, coming to St. Louis, and being in a city where you knew no one, but you had your job. How did you keep from giving up?
I don't know. It was just, you know, like I said, it was just faith, and it was really the church community. I was looking for a church in St. Louis, and I visited a few and eventually went to Jubilee for a while, and then I also ended up at your church at Trinity, and really church is what helps, and just being with other Christians and having a chance to be in community and be in fellowship and be in Bible study, and we really need each other, and there's a time for private prayer and Bible study, but there's a time when you need to be with people, and when you're having a down day, you can call somebody and just ask for prayer or call somebody and cheer them up, and when you cheer them up, you're cheered up as well. And I want to also mention that I had a chance to do some volunteer work with the Visiting Nurses Association. It was called a Visit-A-Bit program, and there I would talk to a senior citizen. I had a person assigned to me, and every week for about 3 hours or so, I would visit with this lady over the phone. And she had a long, terrific struggle, depressing life between what she did and her children and grandchildren, a lot of medical issues, a lot of mental health issues. And it made me feel good that I could visit with her. Just that time spent on the phone helped her, and it helped me too because it got my mind off of my issues and made me think, you know, this lady has trouble of her own, but yet we were both there with God helping each other.
As you look at what's happening in our world today, what do you think the hardest thing is for people who have a visual impairment or have a disability?
I think it's just being accepted by people who don't have disabilities, because we are normal people. We want to be treated, we want to be included into things. And I feel that we are not as included as we could be. That people kind of are afraid sometimes to approach us, and if they do, they hesitate, and they'll say, well, Do you mind if I ask you this question?
I know.
I ask you this question.
I get that all the time, too.
And they're a little bit afraid. And I'm like, go ahead and ask me. Ask me anything. I'm happy to answer any question. Don't be afraid. And if you see a person on the street who looks like they need help, you know, crossing the street or whatever, just ask them. And they'll tell you if they need help. And then ask them, how can I help you? You know, and they may say, no, I don't need any help, you know, and don't be offended by that. But if they do need help, then go ahead and help them. And, you know, just think of your neighbor. If you're going shopping, you know, ask your neighbor who's blind, maybe, can I get something for you? Or if you're going somewhere, say, hey, would you like to come along? You know, let's go for a ride. Let's go for a walk. The idea is don't be afraid, because we want to be into things as much as everybody else is.
I had a prime example of the challenges of disability and accessibility this morning. I was working on a test we had to do for work on the internet, and they had orange check marks and different colors, and each question that I had to answer had a different type of response mechanism. And so I had to make a call to the engineer that was in charge of this test, and he got me through a little, and he said, call me if you have another question. I was so flustered, and it's all because of accessibility, and we fight accessibility in computer programs, don't we?
Well, we do, and in fact, there is right now there is some legislation that is just got introduced last Thursday. To try to make websites more accessible, because a lot of the time it is pretty accessible, but there's always one little glitch, one little hang-up, you know, that makes it inaccessible, and you can't finish what you're trying to do. And, you know, the computer is, we use the computer for everything.
We use the internet
for everything in daily life. So anyway, there's this particular legislation was just introduced last Thursday, and
how do people find out about what legislation is introduced concerning persons with disabilities?
Well, I belong to the National Federation of the Blind, and there's also the American Council of the Blind, and they work constantly on legislation, both at the state and federal levels. So as far as the NFB, you could just, it's nfb.org. That's going to give you all the federal legislation.
That's nfb.org.
Yes, okay. nfb.org. And in Missouri, it's nfbmo.org.
nfbmo.org.
Right.
Briefly, tell us about a couple of other legislative things that have happened recently concerning visual impairment.
Well, the last year, the state legislature passed what they call the BRIGHT Act, which is Blind Rights Independent Education and Training Act, and it is supposed to ensure that if a blind child wants to have Braille instruction, they're entitled to get that, even if they do have some vision, because a lot of times a student may have vision, but they are struggling to read, and, you know, putting an eye strain on them or giving them a headache or whatever, and the teachers will say, well, you know, you could still see, so go ahead and read, even if you got to do it with a magnifier or whatever. But Braille is so important and so essential, and if that child loses their sight, then it's better if they know Braille already. So I know for me, I use computers and all the audible devices, but Braille is so essential, and I use it now every single day. I take my own notes, and I'm sitting here with a page of notes right now looking at some little key phrases to give myself a clue as to you know, how to answer these questions. So,
and I'm sitting here with my Braille display that I popped the file off of the computer and with my questions on it, looking, what am I going to ask her next? So God does provide. Annette, we have 2 minutes left. If you had that 2 minutes to share with an audience once, what would you say?
Well, I would have to say that there is no problem that you can't overcome if you have God on your side. If you believe in Him and trust in Him And, you know, it's all about God's timing and God's plan. And, you know, many times I have prayed for a miracle. Well, I haven't gotten it yet, but it's not in God's plan. And really, I feel like Paul in a way, because the Apostle Paul, because I feel like I can meet the challenges. I can deal with the good and the bad and the up and the down, and I've adapted, and I look forward to this life being so short. I look forward to eternity when we're going to have the new heaven and the new earth, and I'll have perfect sight and a perfect body.
God's got a plan for you, too. If you're doubting God, take another look at Annette's story. Take another look at stories in God's Word of people who believed God for the impossible to get through, even day by day, minute by minute, second by second. God can do that for you. Annette Norkowski has been my guest. She's been visually impaired all of her life, and God has used her in a mighty way to be a pioneer. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Thank you, Annette.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Join me next time, won't you, for another edition of Encounter. Okay, sweetheart, I've turned on the nightlight, and here's Teddy.
Grandma, I love it when you tuck me in. You're my best friend. Don't ever leave me. I love you.
Electronic Caregiver helps seniors maintain independence and safety at home with their medical alert system. The smart wristband provides telehealth, medication reminders, and personalized messages. If an emergency occurs, loved ones can call for help by pushing the button. More information from Cheryl Wilson at 314-312-0034.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. Encounter, hosted by Judy Redlich, was produced and first aired on KSIV Radio, part of their Bot Radio Network.